Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter. Welcome to Heart.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. Excuse me. Good morning, beloved. I pray that God has blessed you and blessed you mightily. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have my awesome co-host with me today. Good morning, beloved. Good morning.
Good morning, Apostle. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. I truly am. I thank God for this day. I'm telling you, it's a good day in the Lord. It's a good day. Amen. Amen.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Yes. So, what is today's date?
Today is February the 8th.
The 8th. Okay. Okay. All righty. Well, tomorrow, the 9th, is my sister Denise's birthday. So
okay.
Even though she's not on the radio today, let me give a great big shout out to my sister Denise in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And her family is the one that cares for my precious mother. And, of course, you know, I share time in helping to take care of Mom or give my sister and her family a break every now and then. But so I just want to say happy birthday to her and thank her so very, very much for the awesomeness of what she has done. So praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Happy birthday.
Amen. So good morning to Tamika. Good morning, precious heart. God bless you. I love you. May God be with you in all that you do and every endeavor that you have. And I pray much success for you. I pray that everything that you desire that goes according to the will of God, that you will achieve it, you will have it, you will be blessed by it, and from that you will become a blessing as well, or should I say continue to be a blessing to others. So good morning to my daughter in the Lord. God bless you. Good morning to her mom and our longest listener, Joyce Richardson. Precious heart, I love you so much. Good morning to you. May God be with you forever and a day. So there's your eternity. Amen. To Joyce in New York, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim here in Baltimore, Maryland area. God bless you. The Prophet Crawford in Tennessee, he and his wife Songbird, God bless you. To Deacon Thomas Scar, our first guest co-host. God bless you, man of God. And from here, he went on to have his own show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. And so you know we encourage you to always check in with his show and check in not only by having the men in your life listen to it, but also I encourage the women to listen to his show because there we can learn what's being taught to the men. So that we can, so that we can be joined in with the teaching, we can cooperate with the teaching, and if we think the teaching is wrong, we can say something about that as well. But I've never heard it to be wrong because he definitely is a Bible He follows the scripture. Conversation is great. It's great. And you're going to hear how men feel, how they not only feel, but how they think, and then let it go and be connected to the Word of God. So I definitely encourage you to listen. Beloved, you got anyone you want to give a shout out to this morning?
Well, I just realized that I did not, you know, say my name. This is Minister Tabika Garnes, and I just want to, again, say good morning. Thank you all for joining us on another Saturday, spending an hour with us. We love you, and we appreciate your time, and we just look forward to see or even hear you say, you know, what God is doing in your life. So we just thank you so much, and we just bless God for this platform. You know, we dedicated this show to the Lord, heart to heart. This is his show, and he's allowing us, you know, to be the vessels to get his word out there and to make him famous. So we just want to bless the Lord for choosing us, and we don't take this lightly. Amen.
Amen, amen. And this morning, I am going to ask Minister Tabika to open us up in prayer this morning. And from there, we're going to go on into what it is that God has laid on our hearts for us to do for this entire month. This month is Black History Month, so there are things that we want to share with you from Black history and yet have it all connecting to the Word of God. Amen. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Heavenly Father, we just welcome you right now. We welcome you to this line that you may have your way, that you may download wisdom and knowledge and information in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, for this platform. We thank you, Lord God, for choosing us, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that your love never changes, oh God, that you are the great I am. You are Abba, Father. You are the Prince of Peace, oh God. You are the beginning and the end, Father, and we just bless your name, and we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you, Lord God, and we know that the things that we have to walk through, that you're right there with us, that you haven't forgotten about us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Even if we feel forgotten, Lord God, we know that you have not forgotten us. We know that you are the one that will never forget us, Lord God. And so, Father, we just thank you right now for every promise, every blessing, in the name of Jesus, every prophetic word that has been given. Father, Lord, we just praise you, Lord God, because we know that we're nothing without you, Lord God. We know, Father God, that we need you to get through the days that we come up against hard trials and tribulations, oh God. We know, Father God, that we need you as we listen to the radio, we watch the news, and we just hear the awful things that are going on, the things that are happening to people, Lord God. Lord, we bless your name in the name of Jesus, oh God. We know that you are in control. We know that you are a miracle worker, a way maker, and a light in the darkness, Father God. We know that this is who you are, Father God. And so, Lord, we just continue just to give our hearts to you. We continue to trust in you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, when I just think about your goodness, Lord God, when I think about your grace, God, when I think about your mercy, Father God, it just fills me in the name of Jesus, oh God. It fills me. It fills my heart to know that you love us that much, that you love us unconditionally without any connections to anything else, Lord God. Whether we love you back, Lord God, you still love us, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord,
mm-hmm.
I just pray that we begin to love one another just that way in the name of Jesus, oh God, that when people offend us or hurt us or say things, Lord God, that we don't particularly agree with, Father God, that the love, that your love, Father God, your love, Lord, would just take over our hearts, Father God. And that's why we have to give you our hearts every day, Lord, because we go by emotions, Father God. We go by feelings, and we're human, Father, so that's what's going to happen. But I pray that you would just begin to help us see past what someone is saying. Help us see a deeper hurt or a pain that's going on with them, that we may be able to minister to that and not get caught up, Father God, in what they're saying, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So we give you praise.
Yes.
Lord God, we honor you. Father God, I'm trying to hold back tears right now, Father God, because you are so great. You're so marvelous. You're so amazing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you always show up, Lord God, right when we need you, God. You show up in the name of Jesus. You are the answer, Lord God. You are the answer in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you are the answer. So, Father God, I pray that you touch the hearts and minds of those that are on the line today. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that the information being shared will help. I pray that whomever is listening, that they may have some information that they want to share, Father God. I pray that they would share. Lord God, we just give you praise and we thank you that this is where others can come and listen. Others can come to know who you are, Father, in the name of Jesus. And it may be hard to believe that there are still people out there that don't know you, never heard of you, Father. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now that this platform can get out to other countries and other nations, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we just bless you right now, Lord God, and we just thank you and we honor you, Father God, and we, Lord God, just hold on, Lord God, we hold on, even if we've been waiting for years to see something happen, oh God, we just hold on to your promise, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. It's right there, Lord God. We're not going to let it go. We don't know or realize how close it is to manifest, oh God. We're not going to walk away. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep believing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are strong and mighty because of you, Father God. Hallelujah. We were created in your image, oh God, and we have your mind. Therefore, we are very powerful, Lord God. Let us begin to see how powerful we really are, Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank you.
Yes.
We honor you. We love you, oh God. We give you praise, God, because there was none like you, Jesus. There was none like you, oh God. And I just thank you that we have you. We have you. We have you. We have you, oh God. We just have you. One that never changes. No matter what comes up, you never change, oh God. And we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for creating us, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that we were on your mind when you went to the cross in the name of Jesus. We may not have been born yet, but, Father, we were on your mind when you went to the cross, oh God, and we bless your holy name, oh God. We bless your holy name, and we ask for forgiveness of those sins that we've done in thought, word, or deed, Lord God. We repent right now, Father God, and turn away from those things that make you unhappy, oh God, or that make you, that hurt you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. We honor you. Open our eyes to the things that we were once blind to, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Open our eyes to the tricks and the schemes of the enemy, because many are very subtle, Lord God. So begin to open our eyes, oh God, that we may stop walking into the pit that the enemy has laid before us, God. I pray that you will help us see it before we fall in, Lord God. And we give you all the glory, all the honor. All the honor, all the honor, Father God. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Minister Tabika, for such an awesome word of prayer. I pray that each and every one of you were able to be in agreement by saying amen, amen. God is so good. He's so precious. I can't tell you enough about how good he is and the love that we have for the Lord. So we do thank God for this day. We do thank him. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Well, beloved, today on Heart to Heart, we're going to be discussing a topic, praise God, that, a lot of people have talked about it, and and some don't have a complete understanding of it. And I'm not saying that we have a complete understanding of it, but we do want to share an article with you today. And if time allots, you know, there's some other information that dealing with this same thing. There's some other information that I'd like to share with you as well. But what we're going to be talking about is slavery, the Bible, and Christianity. That's slavery, the Bible, and Christianity. And there's been much talk, especially by African-American people, that the Bible or Christianity, basically Christianity, that it was a white man's religion, that when it speaks of slavery in the Bible, it speaks of, you know, it's the white man's religion. It is to keep black people or any minority, but especially black people, to keep us bound and in slavery and to keep control over us and to keep control over us. So we are going to delve into this. And for that cause, many black people don't want to have any parts of the Bible because they believe that this was something instituted by white men and to keep them as masters and to keep us in control as slaves. So we're going to talk about that for a while. And like I said, there are a couple of other things I want to add to this dealing with the same thing. So Minister Tabika, darling, I submit to you. Would you go ahead, love, and get us started?
Amen. All right. So recently I was on my Facebook page and just scrolling. And so I came across this post that somebody shared, and it came from somebody else, but they shared somebody else's post. And it said that this is not verbatim, I don't believe. I can't remember the exact words, but it was like black people reject everything about black people reject everything about slavery except Christianity. And I'm like, it really grieved me because we don't do our history when it comes to, you know, things that we see and hear. We basically see things and we agree with it, and it comes from not understanding what it is. And so we're so quick to repost something that we don't understand. And before you repost stuff, maybe you should just take a moment to research, you know, what it is before reposting. And it just made me think about how many other people believe that about, you know, God and Christianity, that they reject Christianity because of how, you know, the slave owners used it as a manipulation and control tool against the slaves to keep them in bondage and to keep them doing what it is that, you know, they wanted them to do. And so it's basically like if certain passages in the Bible, it does, you know, talk about it uses the word slaves. But when you don't basically read, and Apostle tells us this all the time, when she's teaching the word, she always tells us to read the word for ourselves. You know, never just go by what someone is saying. It's your responsibility to go to the Bible and, you know, read yourself. And she says that if we find something that, you know, she may not have said right, or it was incorrect or something, whatever it was, she always tells us to come back to her and talk to her. Tell us what, you know, we found, because that's the type of person that she is. She's not this person where she teaches stuff and it's like, you better not come to me or come against me, you know, because of what I taught. she always is freedom in her teaching. She allows us to come back to her and in a respectful way, you know, whatever it is that we found or we didn't understand or whatever, she has given us the liberty to come back to her and talk to her about it. Well, the slave owners, that for the slaves, that was not the case. And so the slave owners used the word, like I said, to keep people in bondage. And remember, the slaves couldn't read themselves. So it wasn't like at that moment they could go to the Bible and read and be like, oh, well, no, this is not what it's, no, they're using it in the wrong way. And even if there were some that could read, they certainly, you know, were not going to go back to their slave masters or slave owners and challenge them. So for this reason, now that we're past the slavery point, we can now go to the Bible ourselves and read. And if you, for those that have rejected Christianity, all they have to do is go back or go to the Bible and read it, and they will see that God was not in what the slave owners were doing. He was not in agreement with that. He was not in agreement with that. And I think that so many people have their minds made up about, you know, Christ and the word, that it, to some degree they may be afraid to go read the Bible, because then they'll know that they have been deceived, that they're wrong. And a lot of people don't like to admit that they're wrong. So those that have used the Bible to promote racism or slavery have manipulated the meaning of the scriptures for their own evil intentions and have not actually looked at the words being written and the context of what was being shared. And so the Bible is the most revolutionary book from ancient times, which calls for the end of slavery and the end of injustice. And the world needs to know this. And so many people are scared to touch this topic because of, you know, the history of it. They're really afraid to touch the topic. But it's time that we talk about it. It's time that we research it. It's time that we stop allowing the enemy to deceive us, because now, you know, that's what it is. The enemy, what better way to deceive us is to have our minds and have other people thinking that God doesn't love us and that God allowed slavery. And if God was such a good God, why would he allow, you know, our ancestors to go through what they went through? So, you know, and then we're still believing this up until today. And the enemy is sitting back like, you know, yeah, I got him. Still, even to this day, I have many people, you know, believing that God was for slavery, and he was not, Apostle.
Amen. Phyllis Wheatley, in 1773, Phyllis Wheatley was freed from slavery, and she became the first African American to publish a book of poetry, and she was bought by John and Susanna Wheatley in 1761. And recognizing her intellectual abilities, they encouraged her to study classical literature, theology, and the Bible. And by the age of 12, she could read Greek and Latin, and she understood complex biblical passages in those languages. Her poetry was published in 1773, titled Poems on Various Subjects, Religious and Moral. She often applied biblical symbolism to comment on slavery. And in her best-known poem, On Being Brought from Africa to America, she chides her Christian readers and references Cain from the book of Genesis, writing, "Remember, Christians, Negroes, black as Cain, might be refined and join the angelic train." And so this is, like I said, just the beginning of, not the beginning, but one of her lines in her most known poem. And you can find you know, her book and the slaves' Bibles. You can find these in the the Museum of the Bible. I believe, yes, the Museum of the Bible, D.C. And we have intentions of making a trip there. The youth department, the teens and young adults. And I'm sure they won't be the only ones that will be attending there, but we definitely want to make that trip there to see what is, you know, what the history of the Bible, et cetera. Now, one of the things, as Minister Tabika was speaking, one of the things here is the fact that we have very little knowledge. We have very little knowledge, and Tabika, I thank you, sweetheart, for saying how much I encourage, you know, our congregation to go and to read and to research, because if we had the knowledge of the Black influence in the Bible, the African influence in the Bible, we would not be able to say, you know, that it's a white man's religion. It's a white man religion. Our nation was founded by many God-fearing Christians, and they had come to the place where they embraced the institution of slavery, and that's what they did. And, yes, there were things that were changed even in the Bible to help to promote that, to help to promote that. But we need to look at the fact that there are so many references and things that tell us that these were Blacks in the Word that were doing the things that were being done, from Nimrod, you know, on to Abraham's children being married to the Cushite empire known as Babylon, that there were so many cases. Joseph and, you know, and his wife and children, Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, so many, and it goes on and on and on about being born into the Egyptian culture, Moses being raised as an Egyptian, so much, and pictures from back in those days, y'all, pictures from back in those days, which we still have, which you'll be able to see also in the museum. You know, when they drew pictures of these people, they drew them with brown faces, not blonde and blue-eyed, and I'm not speaking just of Jesus, okay? But they drew these pictures of people with brown faces. The Bible is the most revolutionary book from ancient times, which calls for the end of slavery and the end of justice. And the world needs to know this. There's so many issues at the heart of the Christian faith, which has been politicized so that cultural Christians are seen as against immigrants and for white nationalism. And the world around us should know that we are for them, as broken as they may be, yet we are against the evils of racism, bigotry, white nationalism, and injustice. And so let's take a quick glimpse here as to what does the Bible really say about slavery. What does it really say? And this is a Minister Tabika pointed out again about us reading. Anytime you read the Word of God, you must look at its full context, and you use the scriptures to interpret the scriptures. And when you can get back, you know, into your Strong's Concordance and pull up the the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew, and find out the original meaning of words, and it will make a difference. And so many people throw out all of God's words because some of it doesn't make sense at first glance. But remember, the historical accounts are descriptive rather than prescriptive. In other words, we are reading what happened, not necessarily what God intended or wanted from his people. In terms of slavery, even though Paul encourages slaves to submit to their masters and for the masters to be kind to them, there is something bigger going on. And this seems so backwards to us, but consider a few elements of context. We have to realize that in the ancient world, no one was talking or writing like Paul, who was advocating on behalf of women, Gentiles, and slaves. And the early house churches bore the fruit of that as they became the most inclusive, diverse, and free communities on the planet. Slavery mentioned in the New Testament is not like the American slave trade, where families were separated and kidnapped and taken hostage on a boat and sent across the ocean to a new world where they knew no one and were mistreated. Instead, up to 80% of the Roman Empire was enslaved. Slavery is how the economy worked. Scholar N.T. Wright equated the importance of slavery to the economy of the ancient world to the way we depend on electricity today. Slavery is how most people survive. They needed a place to stay and a job to do and a way to take care of their family. And in those days, slavery had nothing to do with race. You could be a king one day, lose a battle, and be enslaved the next day. Many of those enslaved were paying off a debt. They chose servitude as a way to get out of their difficult circumstances. Even in the Old Testament, the Bible calls for those who were enslaved to be freed every 7 years, which is very different from forced slavery. The Bible does not advocate slavery. Instead, Paul is writing to help slaves know how to handle their difficult circumstances. So this is not the picture that when we speak about slavery in the Bible and the white man using it to keep us down, this is not the picture that we are getting. There was even a Bible, it's called the Slave Bible. And again, that's something that you can go online, you can look up. The Slave Bible, it was called a missionary book, and it was published in London in 1807 on behalf of the Society for the Conversion of Negro Slaves, and an organization dedicated to improving the lives of enslaved Africans toiling in the British country. They used the Slave Bible to teach enslaved Africans how to read while at the same time introducing them to the Christian faith. And, and unlike other missionary Bibles, the Slave Bible contained certain things that were omitted in other publications of the Bible or Bibles that were used to help to keep them enslaved. So it made such a difference. It made such a difference. And again, it is important that we read and get to know exactly what it is that God would have us to know. Let me let our deacon come in here. I'm trying to get you on, Deacon. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Deacon Barr. How are you, beloved?
I'm wonderful, Apostle. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I saw you were doing this topic, I said, uh-oh, Apostle's going in on the deep end of the pool today. So I wanted to call in. But, you know, what you and Minister Tomiko talk about is true. I think that's the first layer we have to talk about. You know, we have to understand that, you know, we have to understand what the Word of God teaches. And first, let me be transparent for people who don't know. I'm a black guy, and I've been black since 1960-something. However, we have to understand Christianity. We have to understand what the Bible, you touched upon it, that the slavery, that when the Bible talks about slavery, it talks about what was going on. But still, we have to look at, you know, that chattel slavery, the type of slavery that was here in America was different from all other types of form of slavery. Some people say it was unique to America the way it was done. Because, you said, even in the Old Testament, it talked about after 7 years, slaves were released from their debts and they were made free and all that. But the type of slavery here in America is what was unique. And also, let me say this. Mm-hmm. It's right. We have to study. Because I've talked to people before about the white man's Jesus and all this. But, again, it's we have to understand that, you know, it was just like we have today in 2020. We have false prophets as false teachers who take scripture and manipulate it. So we go see there was nothing different than the folk who were doing that than what's going on today. You know, we have to understand there's false teachers, always been false teachers. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. They use the word of God and manipulate it to manipulate people. So I say that first when we talk about how it was used for the slaves. And second, the other thing I do, I've been to the Museum of the Bible. Every Christian in this area should go. We in the D.C. Baltimore area, you should go there. You should read. You should, and you need to go more than once. Because I went there. I've been there 3 times already, and I still ain't finished. So, there's a whole section about the racism and how the Bible was used and manipulated in early America. There's a whole section. There's a copy of the slave Bibles. This, I do encourage everyone that's listening to go spend some time. And then on the other side, use your Google machine and do your own research. Because this is part of the evangelism, like Minister Tomiko was saying. This is what keeps a lot of people from the church and understanding who Jesus was, because this thing has been perpetuated in our communities, like I said, since the 60s. It started with the Nation, and there's other groups out there who, because racism in America is the devil's, that the devil can always pull that out in America just because of who we are here in America. And the devil can use racism to keep us separated and keep people away from Jesus Christ because it's easy here in America because people's emotions are tied up in it. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, man of God. God bless you. You know, it was funny when you said, when you saw that this was the topic that we were going to speak about today, you were like, uh-oh, you know, Apostle is touching on something deep. Look, when I saw your number come up, I went, uh-oh, this man of God got something he definitely is going to say, you know, because I know you, you know, and I know your heart and so forth and so on. So I said, uh-huh. Yep, he was pulled in by the topic, and I knew he had something to say. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for encouraging us to go see or go and experience the Museum of the Bible. I am looking forward to it. I am truly looking forward to it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, thank you, dear. Now, also, saints, let me get this up here. Let me get this. Also, I want to encourage all of you, please get the book Pre Slavery Christianity. And it's by Dante Fortsom. By Dante Fortsom. It's a very short reading book. I got it on Kindle, so if you have Kindle, you can get it. I don't remember how much it cost. It was very, very little. I mean, very little that it cost. And get that book. And just let me read an insert. Tabika, pronounce the word for me, please. An excerpt from an excerpt from the book. So, and this is the very beginning, pre-slavery Christianity. So, you've probably heard that the Bible is the white man's religion. Well, that's not exactly true. It is a blatantly false statement that has been embraced by uninformed people of all colors for far too long. The Bible is, in fact, an Afrocentric book and belief system, and I dare you to prove me wrong. This guide was created specifically to address the following false beliefs circulating about Christianity. One is Europeans introduced Christianity to black people. False. The Bible is a European invention. False. Christians worship a white God. False. I challenge anyone of color to read this book in its entirety. Check every verse. You heard that? Check every verse. Check every reference. Analyze the information honestly and objectively, and then tell me that the Bible is of European origin. If you can't do that, all I ask is that you leave a 5-star review of this book. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We cannot talk about pre-slavery Christianity without first talking about the origins of the Bible. It is upon the Hebrew foundation that Christianity was built. So we're going to take our time and work our way through what Scripture tells us about the Hebrews and the origin of Scripture. And so that's just, you know, like a prelude as to what it is that we are going to, you know, that you would see in the Bible. And the different families that we know so well from the King James Version of the Bible, how these families were of African descent. They were definitely of African descent. One thing it says here, even if you ignore Abraham's black grandson, Kedar, who cannot be denied, there are 3 confirmed half-African tribes of Israel. Judah had twin sons with a Canaanite, Tamar. Tamar was of African descent. Ephraim, the son of Joseph, and the Egyptian woman, Asenath, and you found that in Genesis. Now, that's Ephraim, the son of Joseph. We all know of Joseph, and he was married to an Egyptian woman. That's a black woman. Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and, you know, to the same woman. These people are important because they are founders of their lifeline, and everything began with them. So if they are half African, it means that the African blood passed down to their children and into the tribes of those children that they were married into. And as we progress, you'll see that there were other Hebrews that married African women, such as Moses, David, and Solomon. And so listen, y'all, let me say this. I was one of those people, okay, being raised where I was raised, and then coming to Baltimore, and it was only here in Baltimore that I heard that Christianity was a white man's religion. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't know anything, okay, about black people in the Bible. I did not know. I've told y'all before, I had no idea about our black history at all. Biblically, in the natural, the inventions, you know, of course I knew of George Washington Carver and I can't even think of who else, Eli, somebody that supposedly did the cotton gin, that did the cotton gin. I didn't know, you know, other than the things that we were taught in school, and there were like two or three things that were taught in school. I had no idea about Black history. So I definitely didn't have any idea about Black people in the Bible. But then, as I grew, I also became the person that I don't care what color the people are in the Bible. All I want to know about is Jesus. And then it got to the point of that Jesus was Black, you know, that I'm hearing Blacks talk about. And then in Baltimore, meeting, quote unquote, the Black Hebrews, the Hebrew nation here, and so forth. So there was so much confusion, so much animosity, just so much stuff that was going on that it would make you not want to have anything to do, you know, with the Word of God. But thank God that above all of that, I had relationship with God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know. So I learned, you know, number one, to do research on my own, because I would get frustrated with Black folks trying to turn me against the Bible. I got frustrated with white folks, you know, that their way was the only way. You know, so I was just getting frustrated with folks. But just like the only scripture that I've shared with you so far today, that we should know the truth, and the truth will make us free, will make us free. And thanks to God for those of you, and I know most of my listeners are Black. We've got a couple that are Black and white. But for most of you, let me say this. There is nothing wrong with identifying the fact that the majority of, a large portion of the people that we know and read about in the Bible are Black. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I used to think I was coming against, you know, what God would have me to believe that there were Black people in the Bible. How stupid of me. And that stupidity that I'm talking about is ignorance, okay? How ignorant for me to think that the only people in the Bible were white people. I didn't know. I didn't know. I had trouble identifying and believing that there were Black folks in the Bible time. Ignorance, total ignorance. My God, I mean, saints, you know, it's good to be able to look back at our heritage. It's good to be proud of where we came from. It's good to know the impact that the African nation had on the Word of God. It is awesome. Bless the Lord. Deacon, is there anything that you wanted to share while I'm right here at this place?
Amen. I agree. I think it all comes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. It all goes back to us again. We have to search out the Word of God, and we also have to search out history, secular history, church history. We look at who was the first mm-hmm. bishop of Egypt, the Bishop of Alexandria, the Coptic people, mm-hmm. the first Black African church on the continent. But again, we to contradict anyone who comes at us and tells us that Christianity is a white man's religion, now we have to stop and go, okay, let's go to the history. Let's go to church history. Let's go to, we were called to, the disciples were called to leave Jerusalem and evangelize the whole world. Let's look at the history and the recorded history of what's going on in Christianity before it came here to America. So that book you were saying about pre-America, pre-slavery Christianity, that's where we need to go. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to understand. How was the continent evangelized before America? Then we look at, you know, the sin. There's enough sin in the history for everybody. We all got to. There's enough sin in all the races and all the nations and all the tribes, because that's why Jesus died. Every nation and every tribe will bow their knee to him. However, we here in America, like I said, we have to go and look into the history, look where the actual Christianity on the continent began. Because it didn't start in America. The slaves who came here, you know, that's a whole nother story. But if you really want to know the truth of Christianity, we need to go back and see how the continent and how Christ ministered to on the continent before America. Then we can go and have a knowledgeable discussion with those who claim it's a white man's religion. We have to go into the history and search it and study it for ourselves, because we have to contradict a lie with the truth. You know what I mean? We just can't let people say stuff and let it float out there. There's truth out there. There's historical truth. The Coptic Church. That's black. They're not even black. They were Africans who believed in Christ and believed in the church. So that's where we have to go. And I just encourage everybody, like you said, it's all about us doing our research, so that when someone says these things to us, we can come back with a clear, logical explanation. Because, again, people don't know, and that's what keeps them from coming to Christ, and we're dealing with their eternal souls. Because if they never come to Christ, we know the outcome. And if this is a stumbling block, we as a church have a duty and a responsibility to overcome that stumbling block so no man has an excuse when Christ comes back. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Minister Tabika, is there anything that you would like to add at this point, beloved?
No, just wanted to say you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And you just heard from Deacon Farr and Apostle Etta Banks, and I'm Minister Tabika Garnes, and we would like to hear from you all. If you have something that you would like to share, if you have a question, maybe it's something that you heard, something, you know, we would just like to hear from you all. We would like to hear what, you know, you have to say about this topic, because, again, this is something that we need to talk about. This is something that we have been so quiet on this subject for so long. And because we still hear that people are believing this lie, those of us that do know, it's time for us to open our mouths. It does not have to turn into a debate. It doesn't have to turn into a shouting match. You know, you say what you say, and then let it just take root in that person. Because when it turns into an argument or, you know, a shouting match, the information that you're trying to give is now lost, because now the focus is on the argument and not the actual facts and information. So I just think that during this month, you know, this is a great time, a great month to talk about it, because this is Black History Month. And I think that, again, some people don't want to talk about it because maybe they don't know the facts, they don't know the history, and so they may feel like, you know, I have nothing that I can contribute to that. But sometimes when you ask questions, it sparks conversation, and, you know, it comes a time where we have to stop being closed mouths. We have to open our mouths, and even if, you know, it causes the thing where, you know, people don't want to deal with you anymore, then so be it. You know, it's time to stop being quiet, because we don't want people to be mad at us when people are dying. Because of a lot of people never open their Bible because they think that it was created by a white man that used it against our ancestors or against the slaves, and that's where we're stuck. And we never even did the research for ourselves. We heard it, we saw it, and we believed it. And it's time to stop doing that. It's time to start reading our word, talking about stuff like this, because people have information that they just don't share. But when we're in a setting like this, or when we're in a group setting or a church or whatever, you know, that is the time where we can talk about things, because, again, people perish for lack of knowledge. And even in this, you know, just talking about this and slavery, people will perish because they truly believe that the Christianity is the white man's word, the white man's religion or whatever, and they die, mm-hmm. you know, spiritually, and then they die in the natural and never opened up the Bible, never talked to God, never anything, but because they were deceived by the enemy, that's where they stop. So, you know, it's time for us to open our mouths, give the truth, give the facts. Don't be afraid. Who cares if the enemy is mad? You know, he doesn't matter. What matters is the word says to preach the gospel, you know, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, preaching the gospel. We're not supposed to keep staying behind the four walls and talking amongst ourselves, which is fine. But we have a responsibility to the Lord to preach the gospel to those that don't know, to those that have been deceived in areas like this one. And so, again, there's a letter out there called the Willie Lynch letter. Everybody should mm-hmm. read it. I believe Apostle Chad told me about it. I had no idea about what a Willie mm-hmm. Lynch letter was, but I did read it a couple years ago, and I'm like, oh, they brainwashed us, and we're still brainwashed today because we don't read. So, you know, I guess I'm passionate about it because I want to see our people set free from the slave mindset, because some of us still have that slave mindset, even though we were never a slave, but that slave mindset is still there. Because we choose to believe lies, we choose to believe things that we hear people say, and, you know, it's just time to come away from that. It's time to actually do the research for ourselves. It's time to live, you know, it's time to live the life that God has given us to live, and it's not to be, you know, bound in a lie, not to be in bondage to the things that people say, and, you know, it's just time to live. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just let me quickly read this portion here of this article. Both Jesus and Paul's approach were spiritual and long-term rather than a short-term fix that may not have had a lasting effect. If Jesus and Paul had advocated for a slave rebellion, even if it had worked, it would have been localized in short term. Instead, Jesus came to free all the captives, and that freedom included freedom from all sin. Paul tells slaves to become free, and if they can, and conversely, wait a minute, Paul tells slaves to become free if they can, and conversely tells free people to not become slaves. Now, let me just touch there for a moment. Remember, I read another portion from one of the in the pre-slavery book where it talked about you could be a king one day and lose a battle and then end up becoming a slave to pay off debts and this, that, and the other. So that's why it says here he tells free people not to become slaves. The early church leaders knew that people were freed from spiritual slavery. And that as the people were freed from spiritual slavery, then the end of physical enslavement would also follow. There are other New Testament texts as well as Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, and 1 Timothy, but Paul is advocating the submissive undoing of an institution in daily life. Remarkably, in letters, Paul is writing to slaves directly. This shows he sees those who are enslaved as people too, and not as property. In other words, you know, he's not looking at slaves as property. You are a person. And this makes it clear that there were Christian followers who were enslaved. He is reminding them that their suffering is not in vain. In fact, we know some of the most important figures of the Bible like Joseph and Daniel, were actually slaves at one point in their lives. Paul even mentions that anyone who chooses to follow Jesus receives spiritual gifts, including women and those who were enslaved. In other words, women and slaves could very well have the spiritual gift of leadership and or teaching. Paul writes an incredible declaration of freedom and equality for women and those who were slaves. He writes, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's in Galatians 3:28. This is a revolutionary statement. So, beloved, as you can see, that the Bible was not just written by white men for white men to keep black men down. That is not the truth of the word. And we should know the word as God intended for us to know it and totally be set free. And again, one of the freedoms that I found was that, again, it is okay to acknowledge that black people literally were in the Bible, because I feared doing that for the lack of knowledge. I feared doing that a long, long time ago. So, ladies, let's find out what the word says. Let's educate ourselves. The word also says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." A lack of knowledge, we perish. Do not be deceived by the enemy anymore. And I also want to give credit where credit is due. I want to thank Minister Tabika, because it was her idea to do this topic today. We decided to do, you know, things for Black History Month, dealing with our heritage. And it was her idea for us to do this topic today. And we shall, you know, continue to delve into things. I want you to know real quick, because we do have to go here, that the tickets to the Museum of the Bible, first of all, you can go online to museumofthebible.org. That's museumofthebible.org. You can go on there and find out the information about the museum. It is open 7 days a week. Adult and seniors and military, first responders and students, your prices are $19.99. Children from 7 to 17 is $9.99. Children 6 and under are free. Members are free. The hours are from 10 to 5, open daily, 7 days a week. There is a price for walk-up. If you walk up as an adult instead of $19.99, you'll be paying $24.99. So it would be to your advantage to get the tickets ahead of time. Beloved, we do love you. We thank all of you so very much for being here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. It's always a pleasure to serve you, always a pleasure to serve you. So we pray that you will meet us back here on next Saturday morning. And by all means, if you're in the Baltimore area and you do not have a local church that you are committed to, please come and join us at New Vision. Please come and join us. That is where the love begins and it never ends, at New Vision for Life. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. That is the word of God. Let us not perish in our ignorance. Amen. Tabika, my love, bless you. And I will see you on tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
God bless everyone.
All right, everyone.
God bless.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.